Open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 in your Bibles. Proverbs chapter 19. Now, typically, as a Sunday, as the teens leave for camp, that the message is kind of geared towards the teens to get them a little charged up and ready for camp. But I want to encourage everybody here to understand that any preaching from the Bible is applicable to everyone at any time.
Amen.
And that this, even though I'm kind of gearing it towards them, it's geared towards a believer, it's geared towards a Christian, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, on what they need to be prepared for to listen to God's Word. The title of my message is Listen Up. Listen Up. And as believers, as Christians, those of us who are saved, whether it's a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday or special meetings, teen camp, anytime the Word of God is preached, we're coming to hear from the Lord.
Amen.
And so I want those of you who are saved to understand that this is applicable for you every time you walk into a church service to hear from the Lord, to receive a blessing that the God of the universe, the God who created everything, spoke everything into existence. There's billions upon billions of people in this world. There are trillions of animals, bugs, plants, everything that God has created and has allowed to continue to exist is all in His hands, all under His control, and yet He is still willing to come to you as an individual and speak to your heart. The God who is in control of all those things, He's everywhere, and yet He's still willing to speak to you. So if you're willing, let Him speak to you today and every service that you come into, because we have a personal God. He created us to have a relationship with us. And the only person, the only way that that relationship is not going to work is if you hinder it, because He's available. But in Proverbs chapter 19, look at verses 20 through 21. Verses 20 and 21 says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." And so, starting with this message and then going into a full week of camp, we're going to have a bunch of meetings. We're going to hear a lot of preaching. We're going to have a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of sports, games, food, a bunch of good stuff. We're going to be enjoying, as far as us going up to camp, we're going to have a good time. But we're going up there as well with the intent of hearing a lot of good preaching. And I just want to do a little check this morning on how your attitude is going into it. Just like, how is your attitude coming into church? Like, I know Pastor Kenny and Pastor Gold, they talk about, you know, it can be easy, you know, when we're rushed and we're trying to get dressed and we're trying to run out the door, it can be easy to complain and not have the best attitude because you want to get there, you don't want to be late, and you're communicating with your wife and she's communicating with you, hey, did you do this, hey, did you do this, and you kind of can get, especially this morning, I tell you what, this morning I was running around like crazy, just finalizing some things between yesterday and today, getting things ready for camp, getting all the vans prepped, getting the U-Haul. My dad helped get a pin for the U-Haul so we don't lose the trailer going down the road. Praise the Lord. There's just a lot of things going on in my mind, but just, you know, I'm having to constantly ask the Lord, hey, keep me on track, keep my mind focused on you, stayed on you. There's a lot of things to be done, but don't get too busy for the Lord. All right. Don't get too busy for the Lord. Don't get yourself too busy for the Lord, but check your attitude. What is your feelings for camp? What has your feelings been for camp? Has your attitude been, you're excited, you can't wait to go to camp? Are you bummed out because maybe you would rather stay home and play video games or swim in the pool? And you're like, man, I don't really want to go to camp, but my parents told me I have to go to camp. Or are you nervous? You've never been to camp before. This is your first time, so you don't know what you're going to experience. You don't know what's going to happen. And so you're a little nervous. You're not really sure if you really want to go because what if you don't make friends? What if, you know, you don't like the games or you don't like the food, and there's a lot of nervous tension there. But all of that, you're going to have that, you know, a lot, especially these first-timers. We have a lot of first-timers coming up with us this year. But I want you to make sure that when we leave and go up to camp, that we kind of shift our attitude and not necessarily think on, okay, how hot it may be and the food and the games, but that stuff's going to be fun, right? That there's going to be stuff there that you're going to do that's going to be fun. Fun will take care of itself. What you need to focus on is, Lord, am I ready for you to speak to me? Am I ready so that when you do, when the man of God preaches his word, that when you speak to me, that I'm going to be ready to listen? And making sure that your heart attitude going into this camp is, regardless of what happens, maybe if I don't have as much fun with the games, but Lord, if you speak to me, Lord, if you meet with me, I can have a great week at camp. Amen. Because if you go there with the mindset of meeting with God, that I'm going to go up there and I'm going to meet with God, you think he's not going to meet with you? He's going to. Right. If you want him, I tell you what, he wants his relationship with you. He wants a far greater relationship with you than you want with him. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. And so if we go up there with the right heart attitude and say, you know what, Lord, clean me. Search my heart, oh God. Is there anything in me that's keeping me from giving you glory? Anything that's keeping me from hearing you speak to my heart? Get that taken care of today and be ready to meet with him. Right. And so I'm going to be preaching on how we're going to be able to do these things, but to listen up and what we need to be ready to receive from the Lord. All right, so let's pray. Let's pray, and we'll get right into this message. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this book. I thank you for this word. Lord, you didn't just create us and then save us and tell us to just figure it out from there. Lord, no, you preserved this word. You preserved your book. You've given us instruction. You've given us counsel. You've given us things that we need to be able to live our best life. Lord, to be successful in this life. Lord, maybe not according to the world's standards, but Lord, we'll be successful with you if we can give you glory and honor with our lives. And Lord, it's up to us to be able to make ourselves available and let you use us and let you move us. And I just ask that you would work in my heart today, Lord, as I preach your word, that I wouldn't say anything that's contrary to your word. I wouldn't say anything that's hurtful to anybody here. But Lord, I just want to perform your perfect will for this message today, and that you'd receive all the honor and glory, and that it would be a blessing. Lord, I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so number one, so originally when I was putting this message together, my first two points looked really good. And then my third point, by the time I got to my third point, I was like, man, this should be the first one I start with. So I'm going to go to the second page of my notes, and then I'll be going back to the first page of my notes. So point number three has now become point number one. I just want to clarify, if you see me moving these papers around quite a bit, it's not because I have lots of pages, it's just I have to go back to the other page. All right, so point number one is forget your plans. Forget your plans. What you plan to do, your desires, what you think you want to do, your plans, forget about them. Focus on what God wants to tell you. Focus on what God's plan is for you, his will for your life. Let's put that to be the main focus, all right? Because our desires, our own plans, get in the way. If God is trying to speak to you and talk to you and wants to give you direction, and you're like, yeah, but that doesn't fit in with what I want to do. I wanted to get a job here. I wanted to work here. I wanted to go to this place. I want to live in this state. I want to move to this country. Or you're like, I have plans. I'm telling you right now, if you want to be in God's perfect will, if you want to have joy in your life and knowing you're exactly where the Lord wants you to be, you have to forget your plans. You have to forget your plans, put them behind you, don't worry about them. Our own desires, our own plans for ourselves, if they don't include God, they're nothing. It means nothing. In the light of all of eternity, it means nothing. I preached this on the street corner. I said, look, we may be, as a person, as an individual, if we're lucky, maybe you get 70, 80 years, 90 years physically on this earth. And what you do with those physical 90 years of breathing on this earth, and if you live for just yourself, what is it going to benefit you when you pass away? If you choose that entire time to live for yourself, you say, you know what, I don't need God in my life. I don't need salvation. I don't need Jesus Christ. I'm going to reject Jesus Christ. And then you die and spend an eternity in the spiritual place, in a spiritual world called hell. It's not worth it. I would not go to hell for anybody. I don't care who you're friends with. You say, you know, well, my friends might think me weird if I try to say, you know, I think I should get saved, but my girlfriend or my friends will think I'm weird if I decide I need to get saved. I wouldn't go to hell for anybody. I wouldn't care what they thought. If I knew I was going to spend eternity in hell, I would run down to that altar and get saved. And I needed that salvation. I'm not just preaching that for if there's anyone lost in here. I needed that. I needed salvation. I wasn't going to let anyone get between me and the Father. Your plans, time and time again, individual, as a young person, if you need to forget your own plans because your own plans get in the way of what the Lord has for you. 1 John 5:12. I think of this, and I know it's applied in an eternal sense. When the Bible says in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And I understand the verses talk about eternal life. Without Jesus Christ, you're not going to have eternal life. You're not going to have a home in heaven. But I also understand that we are created beings designed to give God purpose. And if you're not saved, you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, then what is your end goal? What is your life's purpose? What, to make money, to get nice things, have nice cars, nice houses, and then when you pass away, what? Maybe someone else will get those things? I'm telling you right now, we don't really begin to live, understand what living is until we get the Son. Our life, our goal, our purpose is to give Him glory. That's why he that hath the Son hath life. Now, I have the Son. If you're saved in here, you have the Son dwelling in you. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Guess what? Now you have life. You have purpose. We are created beings, and we were created to give Him glory. And God wants to give you that purpose. He wants to show you what that purpose is. He wants to show you and speak to you and give you the direct will for your life. His direct will for you as an individual. I taught that at Sunday school this morning. We went over how as a group, as mankind, God has a general will for all mankind, and he wants to see all men be saved. Right? He wants to see everyone get saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. But once you're saved, he also has an individual will for you. Every single person in here is important to God, and every single person in here has something to do for the Lord. He has something for you to do. All right, he does. And we are part of a body of church where we're all individuals, but there is something for everyone to do. And it's our job to seek the Lord, continue in His Word, and find out what that is. And mind you, God's not hiding it from you.
Right.
We may put things in the way that doesn't allow us to see God's will clearly for us, because there's a lot of distractions in this world. There's a lot of things that keep our eyes and our ears and our hearts focused on other things. Sometimes we let those things get in the way and it gets cloudy and you can't see God's will, but you parse those things out of your life, you get those distractions out of your life, God's not hiding his will for you.
Right.
He wants to show you exactly what you need to do. I always go back to that there's that poem by C.T. Studd. I'm not going to read the whole poem, but one of his most famous lines out of his poem is, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." And so you get those distractions out of your life, and you find out what God wants you to do. That's what's going to last. What you do for Christ is going to last. And so forget your plans. So the mindset of forget your plans. Listen, Christian, coming into church, listen, everybody, I mean, we have plans. We work jobs. We got retirement plans. We got goals for the future and whatever. Everyone's got plans. But when you walk into the house of God and you say, you know what, God, it doesn't matter what plans I have outside of here.
Yeah.
What do you have for me today?
Amen.
What do you want me to do? And be ready to answer that. Be willing to listen to that. All right? Forget your plans, because his plan is the only one that matters.
Amen.
Number two, not only do you need to forget your plans, you need to hear counsel. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. You need to hear counsel. Proverbs chapter 11. And look at verse 14. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, it says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." You know, we're going up to a teen camp, and yes, there's going to be a lot of teenagers there. But there's a lot of good youth pastors, evangelists. And there's going to be a lot of good men up there who study God's word, who pray, and what they're going to do up there is they're going to be preaching to you, because they're trying to give you some good counsel. They're trying to give you good counsel. Why? They've experienced some things. They've seen some things, some good, some bad. They've experienced a lot of these things, and they want to tell you, and they can testify, just as I would testify, that when the good things are great, man, praise the Lord. And you know what? When you go through some struggles and some bad things come through as well, you can lean on the Lord and say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
They want to give you counsel and let you know that the experience that they've been through, it's far greater to trust in the Lord than is to trust in yourself. You're going to receive advice from someone who's been through some things that you have yet to go through. All right? You're going to be going through, there's going to be physical things in this world that they give you advice about. All right? There's going to be a lot of spiritual counsel. A lot of spiritual things that they want. Listen, every adult in here, if you possibly could save your child or save someone else's child from heartache, from getting hurt, from making a stupid decision that you had made in your past and you got hurt, and if you could save your kid or your nephew or your friend's kids or whatever from making that same mistake, you would do it. The problem is teens feel like, and I grew up the same way, every teen feels like, well, I won't mess up that bad. Well, I'll get close to that line, and I may do it, but I don't know exactly how far to go, and I can stop in time. Everybody thought the same thing you did until they crossed that line. And praise the Lord, some of us made it back, but not everyone did. Not everyone does. And so when counsel is being offered to you and to help you, you need to listen up. Listen up. All right, hear counsel. You need to hear it. Counsel is being offered to help you, and it's being offered to you because they love you. Like, I don't know these guys. What do you mean they love me? Of course they love you. They wouldn't take a week's long vacation of their time to come up there and sweat all week and preach to a bunch of kids that they didn't know if they didn't care about your well-being. They want to see you be successful, right? Not talking about the physical world. We're not talking about just being successful, make a bunch of money, and oh, wow, yeah, you look great in the world's eyes. Well, we want you to be successful in your spiritual walk with the Lord.
Amen.
And that's, if you're successful with that, it's not about being happy, but you'll have the joy of the Lord. Even when you go through those hard times, you'll have that joy. And you'll say, well, if I'm going through it, the Lord must have a reason, and I can put my trust in that.
Amen.
Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. It says, a wise man, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. I think everybody wants to be considered a wise person. I mean, I want to be wise. I think you want to be wise. I don't think anybody in here would say, you know what, I want to be a fool. Nobody wants to be a fool. I don't want to be a fool. I want to be wise. So what does it say? It says in verse 5, it says, then a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So you are to be seeking out wise counsel. You want to be wise? Seek out wise counsel. Those who have the gray hair. Those who have no hair. I'm getting there. Easy. I'm getting there. But they have been through things. They have experience. They have some wisdom. And not and mind you, not every person with gray hair and bald people are wise. Now, that's just the truth. Some people still are making unwise decisions. But you need to seek out those that they have a quiet but a joyful spirit about them. And you need to draw that wisdom out. You need to hear that counsel. Look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, look at verse 5. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. It says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You know, that wisdom, a lot of times, you know, we're going to go up there and we're going to hear some preaching from some men. They're going to give you counsel, all right? They're going to give it to you. They're speaking counsel. They're going to be preaching God's word because that's what God told them to preach unto you. But you need to do some work yourself. You have to do some legwork. You have some questions. You're like, wow, I don't understand what he meant by salvation. What does it mean to be saved? What does he mean about baptism? What are some of these words? I don't quite understand. You know what you need to do? You need to be drawing that out. You need to be going up and asking those questions, right? Seeking out that counsel. Yeah, you're going to hear some counsel. You're going to hear it whether you want it or not. But I implore you to have an attitude and a desire to not just hear it, but to seek it out. To seek it out. You have to draw it out. And then next, we need to be ready. Number three, we need to be ready to receive instruction. All right, we need to forget our plans. We need to hear counsel. But we need to be ready to receive instruction. Hearing counsel is not the same as receiving instruction. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. You see, someone can talk to you till you're blue in the face and tell you how to do something. At work, if you do any amount of training, right, you want to train guys. I know I worked, Dave was my boss for a long time, and I was in the setup department, and I was training a lot of guys on how to hang molds in a machine that makes plastic parts, right? My job was to hang the mold, hook up water if it needed water, hook up electrical stuff if it needed power, hook up hydraulics, hook up safety switches, all that stuff, all right? It was my job to know and to train others how to do those things. And my job is to teach them to do it the right way, right? The company doesn't make money, the machine doesn't make money if we don't do it the right way and something breaks, right? So the job is to teach them to do it the right way. And I can tell someone, hey, this is the right way, we have to do it. Well, why do we have to do it that way? Can't we do this? No, we can't do that shortcut. Nope, this is the reason. We need to do it this way. Well, why do we have to do it this way? Why do we have to be safe? Well, number one, Tessie and my company is paying you to do it their way, not your way, all right? Because their way is the right way until they figure out a different way, and then that's the right way. But either way, that happens a lot. But you teach them to do it the right way, and you can tell them over and over again, but if they don't receive that instruction and apply it and do it, it's not going to do any good. A lot of these guys, they want to do shortcuts. I'm like, hey, listen, you know what? That shortcut may work, but while I'm training you, you're going to do it the right way. And once you're certified and once you're trained and if you want to do that shortcut and you make that mistake, that's on you. But you're going to learn it the right way. You need to do it the right way. But you need to be willing to receive it and apply it, not just hear it. You have to be able to receive instruction. It's important to receive that instruction. As a good disciple of Christ, all right, are you a good disciple of Jesus Christ? I think we're Christians. We like to call ourselves Christians. We take the name upon ourselves. Yes, we are Christians. We are followers of Christ. But are you following Christ and receiving instruction? You know, look at James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. A good disciple of Jesus Christ is willing to receive that instruction. Look at verse 22 of chapter 1. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding the natural face in a glass. So we're not supposed to just hear preaching. Right. We're not just supposed to hear counsel. Thanks for letting me know, and then forget it, not consider it. Like I said, not every advice is good advice, but you should be able to ponder it, consider it, weigh it, ask the Lord, is this the right way, and make a decision on it, and do something about it. Don't be just a hearer of God's word, not just to be a hearer, but a doer. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of work in ministry. There's a lot of work at church. There's a lot of things. Not everyone's called to be a pastor. Not everyone's called to be an evangelist or a missionary. And you know what? Especially when we're blessed to have a building like this and a church this size and a lot of people here, and there's work that has to be done. There's a lot of work that has to be done. And a lot of that work gets asked by the pastors or the deacons or whatever, and certain people are put in charge of certain things, and you're given instruction on how to take care of things and to do things. We got Vacation Bible School coming up. You know what? There's some instruction that's going to be given out so that we can make the Vacation Bible School a blessing to kids. And so you need to be willing to say, you know what? This may not be how I want to run it or how I would do it, but be willing to receive instruction and to be obedient to those things and worry about being a blessing to others and not worry about how you can be blessed. Receiving instruction. Being a doer and not just a hearer. You know, we're instructed as Christians to not just read our Bible, to pray, to be a witness, right? We know the Great Commission is go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we know these things and we hear these things all the time, but are you doing it? Hearing it is not doing it. Evangelizing, discipling, listening to instruction, and it will listen to it and apply it, and it will help you. It will help you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, it says, be followers of me. This is talk about the Apostle Paul. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And so we're going to be hearing some counsel. We're going to be hearing and receiving some instruction. And if that man is receiving that instruction properly applied from the King James Bible, giving you from God's word what God says about it, you need to receive that instruction. This isn't just cipher out, oop, oh, well, he's preaching this and he's preaching that. I like that. Yep, I'll accept that. Oh, I agree with that. I'll take that. Oh, I don't really agree with that. Poop. I don't like that preacher. Oop, poop. Just throw that out. God has put pastors and evangelists and missionaries into a ministry that their daily job is to read and study God's word and to give to the people what he has for the people. Not for you to just parse out everything and be like, well, that's not for me, that's not for me. I like that, I'll take that. But that's what a lot of people do. If it agrees with what you like, what you believe God has for you, you'll accept it. But if you don't, it must not be for me. You know, a lot of times, I understand that we have a personal God, and he gives everybody different personal convictions. But there's a lot of things that we try to take on upon ourselves. We say, well, you know, that's just his opinion. Well, that's just their conviction. When in reality, that's what God told you to do. Right. So being willing to receive instruction. And he says, be a follower of me, even as I also am Christ. And you can follow that preacher. You can follow that pastor. If he's not preaching blasphemy and he's preaching out of God's word and he's studying God's word and he's your pastor, then you ought to believe what he's telling you. It's for your benefit. Right. Now, you're going to do your due diligence. You need to do your due diligence. You need to make sure that it is right according to God's word. But man, they spend a lot more time in the Bible than you do. And you better hope that you're listening up. Young people, these guys who are going to be preaching to you and giving you counsel, they do a lot of studying in that word. They do a lot of praying and spending time with the Lord to preach to you exactly what you're supposed to hear. You better be listening up and not thinking that, that's not for me. You better be listening up. And lastly, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. The counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Look at Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16. Look at Psalm 16, verse 7. Psalm 16, verse 7. And it says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. It's kind of how I alluded to at the very beginning of the service, that the fact that a mighty God of the entire universe is willing to come down and commune with you, to speak with you, that kind of communication, that kind of foundation for your life, that changes people's lives. When you struggle in prayer, maybe you're fasting and you need a decision from the Lord, I tell you what, the times in my life where I've needed an answer from God and I struggled about something and I prayed about it and I labored and prayed and I fasted over. And when God gives me an answer, man, what a relief to my soul. Right. I mean, it's not always the answer that I want, but the fact that he still answered me, the God of the universe, man, what a peace that comes to my soul, peace to my life, knowing that the God of the universe is willing to give me an answer. Who am I? Who am I? I'm just one person out of billions and billions, and he cared enough to say, you know what? He's looking for something. I'm going to show him. He needs something. Look at Psalm verse 33, Psalm 33. That counsel that comes from the Lord, you're going to get counsel from people. You're going to listen to some wise people. You're like, man, that makes a lot of sense. Oh, wow, that guy is super spiritual. They're wise. And, man, what a blessing their preaching was and this and that. But when the Lord speaks to you directly and it's only you and him know about it, that's something far greater than anybody else can give you. Psalm 33, verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. The counsel of the Lord, it standeth forever. Listen, people say things and people change their minds all the time. One of the things that I always encourage the teenagers and I tell them, I said, listen, I don't want you to make emotional decisions. Like spiritual decisions and life-changing decisions based on your emotions. Because you can feel some type of way about something today, but then tomorrow when you take the emotion out of it and you come back to your senses, like, yeah, I'm glad I didn't do that. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't say that. I'm glad I didn't go there in my haste, because emotions change a lot. And you know what? You can get emotionally drawn into a service. Man, the music is really good and getting all emotional. And listen, if the Lord is dealing with your heart and speaking to your heart, I want you to come down to that altar and pray. I'm not telling you to not do it. I just want you to consider, and the Lord is speaking to your heart spiritually. Make sure you're asking, Lord, is that you? Lord, are you speaking to my heart? Don't just make an emotional decision. Don't be emotionally and come down to the altar and make some grand promise to God that you're not going to keep tomorrow because you were just emotionally invested and not spiritually invested. Taking seriously the things, the decisions that you make and the oaths that you take, and you tell the Lord you're going to do something, you need to follow through. Amen. Regardless of how you feel about it. Right. A lot of the times, guys, you can gauge whether or not if it's the Lord or you based on, okay, how does my flesh feel about this? Do I like this? Do I want this? Okay, in my mind, I know this would be good for me, but I really don't want to give it up. I really don't want to, right? I live in a generation where I grew up in a house where we still had a phone connected to the wall. We didn't have cell phones as teenagers growing up. I grew up as a kid without a cell phone to a generation that, like, everything is run by cell phones now. And in my head, in my heart, I know that being on that device is not good for me. Being on that thing all the time is not good for me. And yet, we still justify it. We still say, no, I know I shouldn't be on it. Shouldn't be on there as much time. I shouldn't let my kids be on it all the time. I know it's not right. I know it's not wrong. And yet, we still find ways to just justify it. Because our flesh likes it. And our flesh doesn't like the fact that we can't do something. I can do it physically. I have the right to do it. I can do it. I can control myself. And your flesh will tell you that time and time again. But spiritually and logically, you know it's not right to be on there all the time. And you know what? You're going to know that when the Lord's speaking to you, it kind of hurts you a little bit because you don't want to give up that thing. Lord's going to say, I want that. You're like, but I like it too much. But he's speaking to you, and he wants it from you. And it's going to hurt you a little bit, but it's going to help you grow and have a better relationship with him and give you more joy in the long run because you said yes to him and no to self. And that's one of the hardest things as a Christian and as a young person to battle every day. But if it's of the Lord, and you know it's of the Lord, that counsel will stand. Amen. And that joy and that peace that passeth all understanding is far greater than what your flesh desires and gives you happiness for a short time. So, teens, as we're getting ready to leave for camp, and we're getting ready to go for that whole week long, we're going to be hearing a lot of counsel and instruction. I want you to remember to forget your plans, all right? If you had plans going into camp, don't worry about it. Oh, I have to be in the volleyball tournament, or I need to do the cornhole tournament. I want to do the laser tag. You know, there's a lot of things that you guys are excited about, and you're like, I have to go there. But if the Lord works on your heart on something, forget your plans. Say yes to him. Hear counsel. Receive the instruction. Don't just listen. Receive it. Weigh it. Apply it. And focus on the Lord. Focus on what he has for you. Like I said, you're going to hear a lot of messages. Half of the time, by the time you get through half the week, you kind of forget the first couple of guys who preached. You're going to hear that a lot of preaching. So that's why we always encourage you guys to take notes. Because you're going to hear like 17, 18 plus messages throughout the week. You're going to forget quite a few things. Take notes. But I tell you what, the things that you don't forget are when the Lord points something out to you personally, says, hey, right there, buddy, take care of that. And he shows you, man, those are things you won't forget. And if you allow yourself to listen to the Lord and allow him to speak to you, receive that instruction and change it, it will be life-changing. Amen. Not just for the next couple of weeks, not just for the next couple of months, getting excited, but it can change your life if you let it. If you let him. Same here, church. If you take that approach every time you walk through these doors, walk through the doors of church and say, you know what, Lord, whatever you have for me, I'm going to forget my plans, my future. What do you have for me? Be willing to hear the counsel, receive instruction, and let the Lord give you the counsel that will last forever. Forget your plans. We don't want to forget our plans. We like our plans. We do. But the Lord has something far greater for each and every one of us if we just allow him to work in our hearts, and lives. And now I just want to say one more thing. And if you're in here today, and I know maybe I'm not usually the scheduled pastor here or preacher here, that if you don't like what I said, I'm sorry. It's the truth. It's the truth. And I'm not preaching my opinion. I'm preaching God's word. And you can get upset with something I might have said, but at the end of the day, you're upset with what God has said. But I just want to let you know that Jesus Christ came down to this earth. He lived as a man. You say, well, God has no idea what I'm going through. But you're wrong. Because Jesus Christ walked on this earth in human flesh just like this. And he was tempted with every sin, every trouble that we are tempted with. But yet he said, you know what? I'm going to deny those things. I'm going to say no to those things. And he said no to every sin, every temptation that he ever came across. He lived the perfect life. You're like, oh, that's impossible. Well, he's God in the flesh, and he had to make a choice. In the flesh, he chose not to sin, not to break God's law. The problem is we haven't made those right choices. We haven't always made the right choice. We have sinned. And because of that sin, we're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. Like, well, that seems pretty extreme. Well, God created heaven, and he created us with the ability to have fellowship with us and glory with us. Sending you to hell was never in the plan. When the devil rebelled against God, he created the lake of fire for him and his angels for their punishment. But guess what? Now there's a spiritual heaven and a spiritual hell. And if you're not perfect and sinless and holy, you can't get to that perfect, sinless, holy place called heaven with a holy God. So it's either heaven or hell. Are you with sin or are you not? I think you know where you're going to end up. But like I said before, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So even though we have sin and Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, he lived a life that was clean and pure. You know what he was down here? What did Jesus Christ do? What he did, he healed the sick. He healed the blind. He was showing the world, he was showing the Jews that he was not just some man. He was God in the flesh who created everything, and he healed the sick, he healed the blind, he raised the dead, and he lived a perfectly clean life. All he did was he cared for the children. He fed the starving. He loved those people and cared for those people and helped those people. And you know what? At the end of the day, because a lot of religious folks said, you know what? He thinks he's God. He thinks he's more spiritual than me. We're going to kill him. And you know what he said? I'm not going to fight you. I'm going to give up my life. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to say, you know what? You can take my life. I lived a perfect, sinless life. You know what? I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to let you kill me. I'm going to die because it's the will of the Father. I'm going to take your sin that you're guilty of, all the things that you've done, all the things that you will do, and I'll take them upon myself, and I'll suffer the punishment of hell for you. That's what he did. Right. He suffered the torments of the cross, being whipped, beaten, nailed to the cross, but then he also died and went to hell for you. But it doesn't end there. We don't just end it there. He didn't just die for your sins. Because like I said, if he was just like any other man, he would die with that sin and stay in hell. But he wasn't just any man. He was God in the flesh. He died, he went to hell, but then he rose again the third day. He conquered sin and he conquered death to show you that he could do that for you. If he couldn't save himself, how can he save me? He could save himself because he was God. He didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave the third day according to the scriptures, and he did it to save you. You, as an individual, not as a whole, you, by yourself, as an individual, Jesus Christ died for you. Now it's up to you. God created us with a free will, with a free choice. You chose to sit in a building full of people who go to church all the time, and you chose to sit and listen to me. You didn't have to. You could have got up and walked out, but you did. And I just want to let you know that Jesus Christ died for you because he loved you, and he wants to have a relationship with you on a personal level, not just as a group. What will you do with it? Will you trust in Jesus Christ and him alone to save your soul from hell? Or will you say, well, maybe not this time, maybe next time, but there may never be a next time. And this isn't a scare tactic. This isn't me trying to scare you into salvation. This is me just letting you know life is uncertain. It's uncertain. But one thing that is certain is that there is a heaven, there is a hell, there's a God above, and he wants to see you saved. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. Lord, you are a good God. You're a merciful God. And I'm thankful so much that you've given us a book to show us how we ought to hear and hear counsel and receive instruction and how we ought to live in this world. Lord, we're just so grateful that you were able to meet with us on a personal level. And I just pray that you'd be with the teens as they get ready to go up to camp, Lord, that their focus would be on you. And all the other fun stuff will take care of themselves. But Lord, that their focus would be on you. And it will be life-changing for them. And Lord, I ask if there's anyone in here today that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, that they could truly know where they're going to spend eternity if they were to die. Lord, I have that peace. Like, how can you have peace? Lord, it's just one of those amazing things that you give us. I know I never have to worry about when I go to sleep at night. I never have to worry about every time I get behind the wheel of a vehicle, if something bad were to happen, where I'm going to spend eternity, because I have that peace. And I just pray if there's someone in here that doesn't have that peace or hasn't thought about it, Lord, that they would find that out today. Lord, I pray you'd be with the invitation, that you'd work in the hearts of everyone here, and if you dealt with their heart about anything specific, Lord, that they'd get that handled and taken care of with you. And Lord, I just love you, and I thank you for what you have done and what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.